kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title for us to talk about this evening, and we're calling our teaching Serve or Being Served. Serve or Being Served. It's interesting that what we call love doesn't necessarily take us beyond ourselves. We tend to have a love where it's within our reach, within our control, and very often when we think in terms of love or in relationships or even in marriages, so often there is a caution, or one's got to be sensible with love. You have to be wise, you've got to use wisdom, and it mustn't, above all, be taken to extremes. That's generally our idea of love. But it isn't really the love that God is looking for or wanting, and it certainly isn't the love that Jesus displayed, giving his life as a sacrifice for us. You see, this type of love that I've just spoken about, it of course, it brings affection, it brings a lovely warm feeling. You can make friends, you can make a marriage out of it. But it isn't really a true description of love. And that's the question. You see, have you ever done anything because you simply love the Lord? You see, that is a special love that God looks for. You simply do something because it's love. It's what love does. You see, did you know that you can give to God things? You can sacrifice. You can spend much time in his presence. You can be a missionary. You can be completely outwardly dedicated and serving the Lord. But at the end of the day, you're not really of true value to him. Because, you see, the Lord is looking for that affection within the heart. The Lord is looking for that extra where we instinctively just do it because we love him. And I believe the sons of God have that quality about them. They have that understanding, that sensitivity, that it's not just works. It's not just doing things. All of that, of course, we know has a place. But there is more, and it's learning to serve. It's learning to be sensitive, to give to God. You see, we have this idea that we can't give anything to him. He's too great, he's too big, he's too vast, he has everything. What on earth could I give to God? Well, of course, we know in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we do give ourselves to him, we offer ourselves up to him, we give our heart, which, of course, he wants. But let's look at an illustration in the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And here is a story that you all know. It's a common story. It's something that we all experience, happens in everyday life. And it's the story of Mary and Martha. And we take it up in verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Here is an illustration of one's love for the Lord. You see, Martha, she's more the practical one. She realizes that obviously there needs to be food and to look after them. She's the perfect host. And her sister decides not to do any of that, but to sit and to learn from Jesus. And this begins to cause her anxiety. She's losing her peace. And I'm sure when she went to the Lord and brought this to his attention, that she wasn't expecting that answer from him. Because he's saying that you are worried and troubled about many things. So Jesus immediately put his finger on the anxiety. And we've all been like this, or we are like it, where we get caught up with things when we should be seeing what is more important, what love does. And you see, Mary obviously was revealing her love for Jesus. This was her way of giving. This was her way of revealing love to him. She was sitting at his feet. She wanted to learn. She was hungry. She was more involved in that spiritual food than the food that Martha was more concerned about. And Jesus brings this out. He brings the analogy out. She's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. In other words, what she is doing is going to bless her, is going to stand in the future, it's going to aid her. This is what he was trying to get over. In other words, he was trying to say, "Martha, just put it all down, put it to one side, come and listen, and when we finish, then you can do all of that." But you see, anxiety, fear, and all those sort of things doesn't think like that, you see. It's got to be done, got to be done. And we have all been guilty of that one. And it is a clear sign that we're not really loving the Lord as we should. One could say that what Mary was doing was putting first the kingdom of God. And the Lord says, of course, that all these things will be added unto you. So we see very clearly what was in her heart. You see, we're not really of any use to the Lord, but we are of value to him. In other words, there's nothing you can really do for God. There's no works that would justify or help you to get into the kingdom of God. But you are of great value. In other words, it means you are precious to him. It means that it has cost him everything to purchase you in that relationship, in that love. And I believe that we need to respect that and honour that. And our way of giving back to him in love is to do a very simple thing, just like what Mary was doing there. Putting priority first. The Lord loves us to be in his presence. The Lord loves us to hear from him, to learn from him, and to be taught by him. These are the things that we can give back to the Lord. That's why, you see, God has placed it within our hearts for the deeper life teaching. And this is why we come each time, because something within us wants to sit and learn at his feet. It's our way of giving back. It's our way of appreciating what he has done in giving me eternal life. Something that I could never pay. This is how you grow with the Lord. This is how you fall more and more in love with him. And of course you experience his love as well. You see, the enemy always wants to get us distracted. He always wants to get our mind and heart off the important. And if anything, when I look at my life, I'm attacked more in that area than anything else. It is so easy to get distracted, to put something else before putting the Lord first. And of course, Mary wasn't going to have that. Mary probably was aware what Martha was up to. She could probably see out the corner of her eye, but she was not. She was going to put that first. She revealed she was of value to the Lord. And that is what should be in the desire of our hearts. Lord, I desire to be of value to you because the price that you paid in purchasing me. You see? It's our way of giving back. It's an attitude. It's a heart. It's a motive. That is what it is. And that's why when we have this, we're then able to be able to serve without being served. And when we're called to serve, we serve because we put the Lord first, you see. Now, Martha, Mary, were going to serve. They've invited them into the house. Obviously, they're going to show their hospitality. But the Lord was teaching them what it means to be of value first, to put the priorities first. And then when you get that right, the serving just will come automatically. You won't serve getting anxious, getting uptight or whatever, because the serving will flow because you're putting first the kingdom of God. You've got the priorities right. That's why I introduce this at the beginning about love and describing love. How that we put limits on love. We are cautious about love. We want to be sensible about love and wise. We mustn't go to extremes. But in Martha's eyes, Mary was being a bit extreme. She was forsaking her duties in helping. which in many ways in those days was customary. This is what women, wives did. And indeed, the Bible shows this. The Bible shows that we are to be hospitable and social. But when it comes to the spiritual, when it comes to the Lord, when the Holy Spirit is ministering, it is disrespectful to not put him first. And when we put him first, and we listen and we learn what he's showing us, then all the serving, all the help, all the hospitality and everything will all flow as a result. It's getting our priorities right. And very often we don't get our priorities right. And this is the problem. But we are to serve, which often takes us beyond ourselves. Because that is what serving is. Often serving is where, naturally speaking, you couldn't do what you're doing. Or going that extra mile. When you're feeling absolutely exhausted or tired, or you didn't have a very good night's sleep before the night before. This is where serving is, and this is where going that extra mile. And you will find that that will happen if we get our priorities right. Let's, for example, turn to Matthew 20. And verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So there we are. We clearly see Jesus' call and ministry, but Jesus always, first and foremost, gave his love, his time, his attention to his Father. And as a result of that, he was able to serve. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So he came with that attitude that they're not going to serve me, but I will serve them. And no greater illustration of this can be seen than when Jesus surrendered and gave his life up to go to the cross at Calvary. That is a servant. And we likewise are to walk in that same heart and spirit. What does it say in Luke? Now, there was also a dispute among them, this is the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." And so it goes on. Again, he's revealing who really are the greatest. The greatest in God's sight are those who serve. And many times we're called to serve where we're not given thanks, we are not recognized, not, you know, just taken advantage of. It doesn't matter. whatever the reaction, whatever they think, whatever they say, your heart should be always to serve. And sometimes we have to serve our enemies, those who despitefully use us or criticize us or whatever. We still continue to serve. Because that is the ministry. If we want ministry, if we want to be used by God, one of the first things that you have to learn is to serve. And so the whole body of Christ serves, not just the minister or the pastor or whatever, the whole body is to serve. And often we learn to serve when we've seen what we have been saved from. So what we've been saved from actually helps us also to serve. The Apostle Paul touches on this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Let's take it from verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on. So the apostle, he wants to serve because of what he's been forgiven of. That is the point. You see, what he's saying is, however he has been treated, whatever they're doing to him, and he certainly went through a lot, he says, I did the same to Jesus. I was blaspheming him. I was persecuting Christians. I was putting them into prison. I was doing that to the Lord until he had mercy on me and he opened my eyes. And so he is saying here, it doesn't matter what they do to me. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they treat me, because that is what I was doing before I got saved. Look what is going on in his mind and his thinking in the way of serving. And so often we need to be aware of what God has saved us from. What we once were doing to the Lord or to God's people or whatever it would be. All of that should help and inspire and encourage us now that we are forgiven by grace and mercy. This should enable us to serve, to love, to put the Lord our God first in all things. You know, I've been called, as you know, in pastoral ministry, and I'll be absolutely honest with you. I didn't at first, for some years, really understand what a privilege it is to serve and to have a ministry like this. I didn't really fully know or appreciate until God has had to do that work in my life and heart, and to really show what he has forgiven me of, what it cost our Saviour. And you begin then to learn that in serving, it's not only serving, but it's actually a privilege to serve. And this is what it's about. This is how the body of Christ is going to be known, by their love. This is how the world is going to see that fruit within the body of Christ, as we learn to love the Lord, choosing the best thing giving to the Lord where we can, and in likewise helping to serve one another and meeting those needs where they occur, or standing in the gap, or getting into prayer and intercession, or fastings if need be, where some are going through trial and testing or whatever. This is what it is to serve. And it's not looking to somebody else whom you think might be able to serve in this situation. No, 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 no. It's, here am I, Lord, use me. It's not looking to anyone else. It's looking to the Lord. And as I bring this to a conclusion, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Remember, we're talking about serve or being served. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. So sorry. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So what he's saying here to the church at Galatia, and remember that the church at Galatia was beginning to move more and more into works. They wanted to start to bring themselves back under the law. And the apostle is admonishing them that they have been born again, set free by the Spirit. Why do you want to come back under bondage, under the law? So this is the nature of this epistle. But he says here, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. So he's reminding them again, not to the law, but liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. So he's saying, in other words, because you're free, don't use the flesh or sin with the flesh. But he's saying there's something greater that you can do, because you can love, you can serve one another. And so that love in serving one another deals with where we want to display things in the flesh. Very often religious people like to display religion in the flesh. They like to let you know that they are religious. They like to let you know that they go to church twice a week, pray. They like to let you know that they robe up, put all on their garments and everything. That is not what it's about. Love serves. And when we serve in that way, flesh cannot get in the way of all of that. Because what you're doing there in serving one another is as a result of you who take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. This is why we always come back to the cross, because the cross deals with the self-life. It deals with the pride. It deals with the flesh, in order that we can serve one another. And an overcomer is learning that they are to serve. There's no greater ministry in works, that is, than serving. And not expecting anything necessarily in return. We still look for those returns, don't we? But you see, a true servant is someone who's simply going to just do it. And whether they get a thanks or not, Well, that'll be an added bonus, but it doesn't matter, because as I finish with this, who actually are we serving? That is the question. You see, if you love the Lord, then you will see the one whom you serve. Mary, who sat at his feet, was loving the Lord. She was loving the Word. She had time for the Word. Do you know why? Because she needed the Word in her life to change her, to make her like the one whom she was listening to, and that was the Lord himself. She had seen, by listening to that Word, by being in his presence, by being attentive, I will be like him. And she saw what he was like, and she saw that he was one who served. So it goes right back, doesn't it, to the Word of God. And this is why we have a love for the Word, a love for the truth. Because he says, if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. And the Word of God is deliverance. It is healing to us because it enables us to love. It enables us to serve. Everything comes by putting the priorities right. And Mary did. Martha has something still to learn. She still needed that deliverance from that anxiety. Not seeing quite like her sister was. And this is what God is doing with us. He's doing exactly the same, and very often he does it in the most simplest ways. Everyday mundane things, he can speak such profound things to us. We don't always have to be caught up into the heavens or have a vision or an angel appear to us. On the contrary, it can be very practical and very down to earth, as this case was with Mary and Martha. Well, that is the question. Serve or being served? And God is putting that love within us. Just to love the Lord, just to be in his presence, and when it's required, to serve as he served as well. It isn't complicated. And we all have areas in which to improve in this. So let him do it. Don't resist. He can just work these wonderful godly affections within us, because as the Bible says, by the fruit you shall know them. Praise God.
Against all disaster.